This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you so much. It's 10 minutes after 5 o'clock in Central Virginia, 5:10 on the clock on the wall. And this is Charlottesville Right Now, News Radio 1070 WINA. We're into the second hour of fun. You look sharp today. I just want to say that. Jay James walking through the studio.
Thank you very much.
You look sharp. You doing a show tonight?
Yes.
Best seat in the house.
Best seat live.
Best seat live in studio, 6 to 8 o'clock, Jay James. Make sure you check it out. Also want to ask the, I said this in the last hour, but also just want to say this again, barefoot@wina.com. Shoot me an email. I want to hear from the regular listeners who enjoy this program. I would like to know what you would like to hear on this program in 09, whether it's a particular person you'd like to hear interviewed in 2009, a subject that you would like to hear discussed more often. I'd like to hear what you like about this program and what you don't like. So share your thoughts with me. Thank you in advance. Barefoot@wina.com. Shoot me an email and let me know. And again, thank you so much in advance for helping me out here. I do need your help. Would like to hear from you. So just share a few thoughts with me about the program. And thank you so much. Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. He joins us on Tuesday afternoons and to talk a little growth and development. Charlottesville Tomorrow, of course, online at cvilletomorrow.org. And happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays. Good to be here.
Good. You work today?
I did.
You were sharp, too. I'm the only bum in the room.
I just took my tie off, though, so I could.
There you go.
You know, I have to speak now, so I want my neck to be free.
Absolutely. I don't know why we
And I get so
things.
Excited on the show, so I have to. I need a little more room.
I have been promoting this all day, that this was the big top growth and development stories of 2008.
And it turns out to be the big tease.
And then it turns out that that's not what we're doing. I thought that was
We will do that next show.
Next week.
Next week.
On the 6th.
Yes.
January 6th,
that's
a week from today, we'll do that. Okay.
And you know, the reason I do that. One, I'm not ready today. Two, that's the main reason. I haven't thought of what the top 10 stories are. I know about half of them.
Yeah.
I'm going to come up with the other half.
I bet Wendell Wood's in about half of them.
Well, and Mr. Wood and I were shopping together over the holiday. We were both taking advantage of some of the sales.
You went shopping locally. out together?
We ran into each other at the store.
Are you serious? What store?
Yeah. I'm not going to mention it.
Okay.
But anyway.
Fine.
We were shopping for... deep discounts.
Did he look up and say, "Hey, you're that blogger"?
I yelled that
on the radio.
We had a really good conversation. So anyway, I tried to explain, you know, Charlottesville Tomorrow's approach, and I run into a lot of people that don't quite understand what we're all about and what we're trying to
what
do.
What is that Charlottesville Tomorrow thing?
Right.
Well, why don't you answer it? What is it?
Well, what we're trying to
give
do
us
is,
your elevator
is
speech.
Inform the conversation in the community about growth and development. And Charlottesville Tomorrow is nonpartisan. We do cover the local elections for city council and board of supervisors, but we're nonpartisan. We don't endorse anybody. We put out a voter guide to let people know where the candidates stand on these issues of growth and development, those issues that impact our quality of life. And then we share that information on our website through weekly emails. Hope people will visit cvilletomorrow.org and sign up and get plugged into that resource.
It's a kick-ass website.
And we've sort of become the C-SPAN of local government. We go to a lot of these meetings like the intrepid WINA reporters, but we put up the audio gavel to gavel and let people tune into that audio. They can come to the website. They can put it on their iPod. But we give a timeline for most of those podcasts that you can jump right to the key part of the meeting.
And you don't need an iPod to listen to that stuff. You can just go listen right online.
That's right.
Just click play and it's like you're there at the meeting.
But what's often confusing to people is, do we take a position on specific matters before local government? And most of the time we don't.
Like, are you one of those no growth organizations and anti-development groups?
Right. And we don't take a position. So what I tell people is, we're for quality growth. We know this community is going to grow. With the University of Virginia here, we're going to keep adding jobs and students over the years.
Yeah.
And so if we are going to grow as a community, let's do it in a way that doesn't mess up our quality of life. This is a pretty special place we have.
Yeah.
Everybody
Amen.
Recognizes how great it is, whether it's the downtown mall, the rural countryside, the university, you name it.
29 North.
We'll talk about that today. That was one of the big stories I thought was going to be of 2008, and it didn't happen. So that's going to be with the master plan for 29 North.
It's not done?
It's not done yet.
Interesting.
I thought that was going to be a big 2008 story.
And I guess the big question will be, are those overpasses going to be in that plan?
We'll talk about that, too.
Yeah.
But those are the kinds of things we get into. And our job is to inform the public, make sure that they have the best information possible on which to make their own, come to their own conclusions.
Educate the citizenry so they can participate.
Yeah, a very Jeffersonian
that's what it's all about.
Principle.
It's all Jeffersonian, right here in Jefferson's backyard.
I didn't think of it that way when we started, but I've definitely come around to that.
Yeah.
That an informed population will make better decisions. And we think pick better decision makers of whatever party.
Yeah.
And
he was all for local control. I mean, that's why he argued states' rights in the Kentucky Resolutions, 1796 or something, 98. If you can put these decisions that affect people's lives closer to where they live, then they can participate. And you educate them, you encourage them to get involved and participate. That's what it's all about. That is democracy.
And the feedback we've gotten has been very positive. And let me just say right now, I want to thank our donors that have helped make Charlottesville Tomorrow happen. And it is a growing list of donors. Charlottesville Tomorrow actually has launched a fundraising campaign. We sent out a letter last month. And the response has been great.
I got it. It was nice.
And we've had, 55 people respond already. And donations range from people stuffing cash in an envelope and sending it to me to, large checks. But it's whatever is a meaningful contribution to that person to help support this work. And we are so appreciative of that response.
Wouldn't that every community had a Charlottesville Tomorrow in it, so that there was somebody at least going to these meetings, tracking the stuff, paying attention to it, making an effort to reach out and educate people. Hey, did you know there's talk of a new neighborhood going in over there, or there's talk of a new mall over, and or this is what you need to know about the water supply plan. Would that we all had this kind of thing to take advantage of.
And what's also been interesting is the broad cross-section of the community that has been supporting us in this fundraising campaign. So we've had newcomers to Charlottesville, we've had old timers, we've had slow growthers, we've had people encouraging growth, we've had farmers, city dwellers, people of every political persuasion.
Yeah.
And that's really what Charlottesville Tomorrow wanted to be when it launched in 2005, was something that had a broad cross-section of the community in mind and was trying to get the best information out there that people could make more informed decisions. And so I want to say thank you to our donors for helping us out.
Absolutely, yeah.
And there's still time before the end of the new year to make a tax-deductible contribution.
Well, this is the giving time of year, is it not?
It is.
Now, what's been the reaction of developers to you? I'm sure you work downtown. You run into developers probably all the time. And
well,
you ran into Wendell Wood when you were shopping.
I did. And, it depends on the person.
Yeah.
But I can tell you that a developer like Hunter Craig, who did Biscuit Run, after his project was approved, he became one of our donors.
Wow.
So Hunter Craig is a donor. He's on our website. And on the website, we're going to post everyone's name in early January. So you can see right now we have our current donors, but then we'll add these new ones. So you can see who's supporting us. We recently added a new member to our board of directors, Joseph Barnes, who is one of the developers of Bundoran. So that's a rural area development.
Yeah, real nice one.
And so we've had that kind of response from the community as well. But we wanted to have that perspective on our board. And are thrilled to have Mr. Barnes involved.
Good stuff. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow. We're going to take a very quick 90-second break. When we get back, we'll talk a little bit about food and the holidays. This is Charlottesville Right Now. 20 minutes after 5 in Central Virginia, 5:20 on the clock on the wall. I'm Coy Barefoot, and this is Charlottesville Right Now. News Radio 1070 WINA. Got local news and local weather for you in just a few minutes at the bottom of the hour. Best seat in the house tonight at 6, live in studio, our own Jay James. Make sure you don't miss that. We're talking with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at sevilletomorrow.org. And before we get into some of this growth and development stuff, and so we'll do the top growth and development stories of 2008 next week.
Right.
So I was wrong. I'm sorry.
And the other reason I wait is that everyone's doing their top 10 things at the end of December.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think people get sort of start tuning them out.
Right. It's just,
so,
here's another list.
I think it's better wait till January. People are back from vacation.
Oh, you're sneaky.
Because right now, you know, I know how popular you are, Coy, but a lot of people are out of town right now.
Yes. A lot of people are out of town. And you don't, you want
to, and I know that,
you don't
that want them to I know they're it. Religiously downloading the podcast, but I'm just thinking maybe in January we'll have a few more listeners.
So we'll do it next week.
We'll do it next week.
So was Christmas good at your house?
It was good. Santa came.
We were just talking during the break. We got a wee, Brian.
I'm so excited.
And
for you.
And I know your family are like wee nuts. Y'all do wee like crazy. Don't
we
you?
Do. We love
you have like family like competitions.
We had a wee Olympics recently.
Did you really?
We did.
Your whole family?
We picked like five events.
That's great.
And we mixed up teams. Everyone, we created a little Wii character for each team and gave it the name of the team.
That's
I
cool.
was on the Cobras.
The Cobras.
And my niece, Jessica, and I were, I learned I'm not very good at racing cows. That's one of the.
Racing
the,
cows?
There's a cow racing game.
Really? I've never heard of that.
It's in the Wii Play.
We only have Wii Sports.
Oh, I think it's a Wii. I think it's on the Wii Play.
Okay.
CD.
It's fun.
But anyway, racing cows. We did tennis.
Yeah.
Skiing. We had a little skiing
Ooh,
event because
that would be fun.
Wii Ski is a good one. You should get that.
I gotta go. Yeah, I might go on the way home. Get
but
some more.
My
Wii games.
Favorite is the Tiger Woods golf game.
Is that better than the golf that's in the Wii Sports?
Oh yeah,
because that's all I've played.
Yeah.
It is.
That gives you a little taste of what golf is like.
What we golf could be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you put Tiger Woods and EA Sports behind a game, it's good.
There you go.
And I don't even have the 2009 version. I have the 2008, I think.
I think that's what we have.
And, of Tiger Woods.
But, okay.
But that would be one to try if you like those things.
What'd y'all get at your house?
We, you know, the newfangled gadget that was interesting in our house was my son got the Kindle. The Amazon book reader, you know, that electronic book.
Somebody told me that that's pretty cool.
It is amazing. Let me tell you why it's so amazing. So it's basically just a little tablet where you can read a book, right?
Yeah.
It's got next page, page back, page forward, whatever.
Okay.
But the cool thing is you can look up words to a dictionary because it's connected to a dictionary.
Okay.
And so you can look them up. If you're reading along and you see a word, you don't know it, you hit the button.
Yeah.
See the dictionary. You can clip text and save it. You can take notes. You can highlight things. So it's interactive in that way. But the amazing thing to me was getting the content onto it.
Well, yeah, that's what would be my question.
So
Does it come with stuff in it?
So I went to Amazon and was able to add some books to the Kindle. And basically you can one, you know how on Amazon you can one click order things?
Yeah.
And if you buy from them,
yeah,
then they have your credit card. You can one click order and then it just shows up, you know, a few days later.
Yeah.
Well, on the Kindle, you just one click and then a few minutes later the book is on the Kindle.
It's sort of like a big iPod you connect to your computer?
No.
Instead
of downloading? You can connect it, but the way it retrieves books by default is via this wireless network, like a cell phone.
Kidding.
And you don't even pay a monthly fee for that. If you buy the book on Amazon, it just finds your Kindle and drops
Man,
the book
weird.
On it.
It's not even plugged into your computer?
You don't even have to plug it into your computer.
Oh, wow.
And at first I pulled it out and I saw, you know, the little wireless network indicator. And I thought, oh gosh, I'm going to have to educate this thing how to navigate through my home, you know, in-house wireless network.
Yeah.
Give it the encryption key and all this.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be a real pain. No, the book just magically appeared. I was like, how did it do that? And so it works over its own little wireless network.
That's amazing.
Like a cell phone.
So you just go on and buy a book on Amazon. You don't actually get the book, but you get the text. Is it cheaper because you're not actually buying the book?
It's cheaper, yep.
So you're just buying the content that would be in the book.
That's right.
And it's in this Kindle forever. It's right there.
Yep.
How and many books it, will it hold?
Well, you can add memory to these things, of course.
Yeah.
And if you're done with the book, you can move it to your computer. And I think Amazon actually keeps track of what you've bought, and you could always go back and get it again.
That's wicked cool. That is really cool.
So as you write future books, you need to make sure
I'm working on them now, Brian.
They're Kindle compatible.
So what was the food situation at your house?
It was excellent.
Now tell me honestly, and look at me and answer me honestly.
My wife's listening.
Have you been eating like crazy?
Oh, yeah.
I have to. I'm trying to slow down because I realize the holidays are ending. But there was that sort of weak window there where I said, I don't care one bit. I'm going to eat it.
No, I made way too many molasses cookies, and I'm still eating those. But we have a new favorite dessert.
Oh, you do?
Yes. I'm expanding beyond pie.
Okay, that's good.
I'll come back to pie in a second.
Yeah.
But the dessert of Christmas for the Wheeler family was tiramisu.
Tiramisu. What is tiramisu? I've heard that word before.
I was afraid
before.
You were going to ask me that. I do have a picture of it for you.
Is that what is that what's in front of me here?
That's tiramisu.
Ooh.
It's an Italian sort of, it's got like finger bread little cakes.
Yeah.
And then it's got this cream filling. It's got a little espresso something or another in there.
Oh, so you get a little jolt from it. Not just the sugar, but the espresso.
And I learned from Wikipedia what tiramisu means. In Italian, that means pull me up.
Oh, I bet it does with espresso and sugar in it.
Pick me up. Yeah, sugar and espresso. But we got ours from Hotcakes. And basically,
at Barracks Road.
Yep.
Yeah.
We took
yummy stuff there.
We took our dish down there, and apparently my wife just said, you know, fill this with tiramisu. And they did. And I picked it up and I was like, this looks amazing.
Oh, well, now I got to try it.
And we're still eating that.
Really?
Yeah. But Jean and I both, my wife, Jean said, this is the dish.
Really?
That's going to be part of our tradition every year now.
Interesting. So it's officially the new Wheeler dessert.
It is.
It's tiramisu from Hotcakes and Barracks Road.
That said, my brother-in-law, Calvin, from Lynchburg, showed up with two great pies.
Yeah.
One I'd never had before from Montana Plains Bakery in Lynchburg. Blueberry strudel.
Oh, gosh, that sounds great.
That was good.
Yeah.
And then creme brulee. They make a creme brulee pie, which is always good.
What is creme brulee?
Custard kind of concoction.
I like custard.
It's in the restaurants, you know, they fire the top of it.
I was going to say, isn't that the pie you set on fire?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's got sort of a cooked crust on
top. Yeah, it's like a custard.
Interesting.
So that was my delicious Christmas.
So what did you get from Santa?
Extravaganza. I'm wearing the shirt.
That's a very nice shirt,
by the way.
A very nice blue button-down Oxford.
Santa brought me the shirt.
Yeah.
A couple other shirts, sweater. I'm set. If it wasn't for Father's Day, my birthday, and Christmas, I would have nothing to wear. So I'm thankful for all those events.
My son got a bunch of Thomas Drain stuff. I had the best time setting that up. I was working on it again last night. I made this whole village. And again, it took so much fun.
I heard you talking about that on the radio. And the funny thing about your story about that yesterday was you saying that you were having to tell the kids, no, you can't play with it yet because I'm not done.
I didn't want them to mess it up.
I grew up playing.
Don't even look at it.
In elementary school, I grew up playing City in the basement. So I had a huge train set.
Oh, cool.
The traditional train.
Yeah.
But then, you know, Legos and Hot Wheels added to the mix.
With the orange track.
And so we built this huge city in my basement, and all my friends would come over to our house, and we played City.
Oh, this is cool.
Throughout elementary school.
And it was just a huge setup all throughout the basement. Yeah.
So now I know why, you know, I'm working at Charlottesville tomorrow playing City with the real deal here.
Good stuff. We're talking with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. After this break for local news and weather, we're going to turn our attention to some of the growth and development stories before us here as a community. Places 29, 29 North, and of course the water supply. All that coming up in just a few minutes. This is Charlottesville Right Now. 38 minutes after 5 o'clock in Central Virginia, 5:38 on the clock on the wall. I'm Coy Barefoot. Happy Tuesday! This is Charlottesville Right Now. It's 51 degrees in Central Virginia. Mighty warm, mighty nice. I hope you're having a great evening. Thanks for joining me. Let's rejoin the conversation with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at seavilletomorrow.org. So let's talk a little growth and development, shall we?
We shall. And I want to start with a history lesson about growth and development in Albemarle County. The Albemarle County Planning Commission had a retreat in December, which I went to. And I know what your next question is, Coy.
Colorado Ski Resort.
Where was that retreat? It was in the county office building. So unfortunately,
there you go. Saving some money.
I didn't get to branch out and see any new conference rooms around the Commonwealth. But they kept it cheap. They did not even have food at this event.
Really?
And apparently they've told the Planning Commission that they can no longer expect dinner at any of their meetings.
Well,
they're cutting back.
The times in which we live.
But anyway, so they had their retreat, and the first part of the meeting was quite interesting because the chief of planning for Albemarle County, David Benish, gave a PowerPoint that was a history lesson, a review of how we got the comprehensive plan that we have today.
Oh, that would be interesting.
And
how can I see that?
How can you see that? Well, if you go to seavilletomorrow.org.
Are you serious? You have it online?
Oh, of course we do.
Very cool. I'm going to look at that tonight.
And what we do, if we get a good piece of audio with a PowerPoint that is something pretty compelling, we'll put the two together and allow people to view that slideshow and hear the presentation as if they had been there at the meeting.
Very cool.
So on our website right now is that slideshow from David Benish, and it looks at this 40-year history of comprehensive plans in Albemarle County. What's interesting about it is how back in the beginning, apparently with the 1971 comprehensive plan, the county identified a lot of areas for growth, designated growth areas. And this is 1971, but apparently they went a little crazy in designating how much growth they wanted to have,
yeah,
so that the projected population, you know, 20 years later, which is, you know, which is
91,
well, whatever number they came up with, it's like 2-3 times what it is today. So they were wildly off.
That's funny.
But apparently
we're going to be huge.
Apparently there was some method to their madness. They were, according to David Benish, what the story is at the county office building is they were doing this as posturing to defend themselves from the city of Charlottesville and annexation maneuvers. So the city at that time was involved in annexing, you know, county property, and have been for quite some time.
Yeah, county would develop something, and then the city would annex and get all the beneficial commercial taxes.
And so apparently one of the first comp plans the county came up with identified a whole lot of areas for growth that are no longer growth areas, but they were doing so in part related to the annexation battles. So that's one little tidbit that's kind of interesting. Over the next revisions, in 77, they reduced the development areas. And then in 1980, they had the great rezoning. And that was sort of implementing the 1977 comp plan. And there's some of the history behind that. And
the reason all of this is important is because this shows you where we got today, and where we are today is a plan for the whole county.
Right.
And that really sort of maps out where we're going, you know, under a good economy, of course, assuming, you know, booming development.
In a lot of ways, Albemarle County is ahead of its peers throughout Virginia, not in having a comp plan, but in having one that was forward-thinking at the time, and even for the current one, which was first done in 96. The comp plan designated those growth areas. Right now, it's 5% of the county is designated for growth, and that's the Crozet growth area. It's the urban ring around Charlottesville. It's the corridor up 29 North, and it's Glenmore and the village of Ravana. So there are two little islands of growth, Glenmore and Crozet, and then the donut around Charlottesville, and then going up 29 North. So those are the designated growth areas, 5% of the county. The county's 725 square miles. It's the fifth largest county in Virginia. But 95% of it is intended to remain rural, particularly the area that feeds into the water supply. So one of the things that came up in the 70s was recognition that the South Fork Ravana Reservoir, which opened in 1966, was filling quickly with sediment from the rural countryside. And so in future revisions of the comp plan, they decided to really limit the amount of growth that could happen out in that watershed area that fed into the South Fork Reservoir. And so that led to changes, and it led to that 1980 downzoning of the rural countryside.
Right.
And really,
they didn't want people building big neighborhoods along those creeks and rivers that feed into the water supply,
right,
because as we all know, when you do, you create a lot of sediment then that goes into the water supply.
So this slideshow and presentation review some of that history, which is interesting. In 1982, the county came up with an interstate interchange policy. A lot of people don't know that. That is why we don't have development around the Ivy exit. There's not a lot of development around the Crozet exit that wasn't, you know, there originally.
Versus some other places, like in Stanton, when you go to Augusta,
right,
County, the interchange at 250 and 81 is, you know, there's a Cracker Barrel and everything.
Right. And Albemarle County's comp plan says that's not going to happen here.
I like that. I sort of like that.
Other little nuances, like the dark sky ordinance was something that got introduced, an interest by this community to have lighting that is downward facing. So it services the needs that you have for safety in buildings and whatnot,
yeah,
and roadways, but doesn't light up the air to make it so you can't see all the stars that we used to see.
Well, we do have astronomers in this neighborhood.
We do. We have a couple telescopes.
We do, indeed.
The University of Virginia.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. And then the last thing I wanted to mention about that was what? Flipping through my notes here. Oh, the neighborhood model. So you were asking, why is this important? And I was saying that Albemarle's been forward-thinking. The neighborhood model was something that came out of the planning process that said, hey, if we're going to focus on this 5% of the county for our growth area, let's use it as efficiently as possible. And that's the area that has water and sewer. That's the area that has road infrastructure. And let's fill that in as much as we can.
Yeah.
But let's make it quality growth. So let's have it be walkable, pedestrian-friendly, bike lanes, have all those amenities. And
so when a developer comes in and says, I want to do a new neighborhood, and they go to Albemarle County says, okay, if you do, these are the elements that we want in our neighborhoods as a community. We've decided as a community, we want sidewalks. We want, you know, all this.
That's right. Street trees. We want interconnected neighborhoods that form a grid pattern of the streets as opposed
versus endless cul-de-sacs. Yeah.
Right. So a lot of those principles are in the neighborhood model. So a development like Biscuit Run or North Point, when they came to Albemarle County, they tried to comply as best they could, with that model.
Right.
And that was something that came out of the 1996 version of the comp plan and led to some committees. The DISC committee, the Development Initiative Steering Committee, was created after that 1996 plan.
And they did a ton of work.
That led to the neighborhood model
that
we have today. So a lot of forward thinking by previous generations of leaders in this community. But David Benish does a good little history of it, and we put up his slides, and you'll enjoy looking at some of the covers of past comprehensive
plans.
So
how do they find it, Brian? They go to SeaVilleTomorrow.org?
And click on the News Center, and it'll be one of the top stories in the News Center link. There's a box on our website, and it'll take you right to the slideshow.
Where did this picture come from on your website?
I took that picture.
You did? Are you serious?
Yeah, there's a picture.
That's beautiful,
sunflowers,
Brian.
Sunflowers in a barn.
That's beautiful. That's like an award-winning picture right there.
Well, I thought so. That's from Pi Day 2008. That's down in Scottsville, between Scottsville and Howardsville.
That is really pretty. I mean, that just makes you want to run out in the field, doesn't it?
It does.
All the sunflowers.
So people need to go to the website and look at it.
That's good stuff.
And the other thing you'll find when you go to our website, on the blog, the News Center, when you click on a story now, if you click on the actual headline of the story, a new button will appear that sort of is in testing mode right now called Print This Post. Now, that may not sound too exciting, but it's new for us. And
that's long overdue, Brian.
Long overdue.
As a fan of your website, that's time.
We now have a Print This Post.
So it's been difficult to print stories off of your website.
It has been.
Off of your
but,
website.
You know, it's a homegrown kind of thing. And
this looks great, though. It opens, what it does is it opens a version of the story in a new window that you can then print, and it doesn't come along with any of that extra stuff causes you to print a two-page story on 10 pages.
So again, I want to thank our donors for helping make that possible.
That is good stuff. Great stuff. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at SeaVilleTomorrow.org. A very quick break. When we get back, the future of 29 North. We got 10 minutes before the hour of 6 p.m. in Central Virginia. This is Charlottesville Right Now. It's News Radio 1070 WINA. I'm Coy Barefoot. Happy Tuesday. We're talking with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at SeaVilleTomorrow.org. So what is all this about the future of 29 North?
Well,
my guess is that the future of 29 North is going to look a lot like the last 10 years of the development on 29 North. It's just going to keep going up, isn't it?
Well, I spent a lot of time on 29 between here and Washington.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you get outside of Albemarle, that is what you think about is the constant addition of new traffic lights.
Yeah.
Between Greene County and Manassas.
Another shopping center, another major intersection of stores. And yeah.
So
it used to be you'd get up to that Sheetz when the Sheetz wasn't there at Ruckersville.
Yep.
And over on the left was just a big field where they would have that like farmer's market on the weekends.
Yep.
Now that's a huge shopping center, the Food Lion.
And a lot of that is just open land right now waiting for the market, you know, to present itself where those properties could be developed.
Yeah.
So up in Greene County where they've got the water tower,
Yeah.
You know, there's that huge expanse of...
the Freed's big development.
Moonscape.
Yeah.
Which is what we always called it in Albemarle. The moonscape there, where there'll be development in the future.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It'll happen.
But, you know, there's also a lot of potential for new development in Albemarle. So North Point, which is north of Airport Road on the right side of 29 as you're heading north.
84 Lumber in there.
Just past 84 Lumber, yeah. Between there and the Badger Fire. I think it was called Badger Fire.
Yeah, the fire extinguishers.
Before you get to the National Ground Intelligence Center.
Yeah.
That whole stretch is North Point. That hasn't really started yet. So, you know, those developments are going to, you know, definitely transform 29. And I think what the Virginia Department of Transportation is about to embark on is a planning process to so they can get a better grasp on how this is unfolding between North Carolina and Manassas, the entire length of 29. Now, I think they look at Albemarle County and they say, okay, you guys are already well underway planning your part of the road.
Yeah, we got that whole Places 29
right.
thing.
Places 29 is the 20-year master planning process that Albemarle County is doing. We thought that was going to be a big story in 2008, that they'd be sharing the final results of that. That study is still underway, and it'll come out early in 2009.
Who is Places 29? Are those like just volunteer citizens, or is it like a professional staff or both?
That's staff of Albemarle County and consultants that have been hired.
Okay.
And VDOT. VDOT is working very closely with Albemarle on this project. So they see that as the way to plan Albemarle's portion. But looking more broadly at the corridor, what VDOT's concerned about is what you said, all these new entrances being added to 29. Because they have to think not only about local traffic, but how do you move traffic from Washington to Danville?
Yeah. And North Point alone, if I recall from conversations with you, is what, 30 to 35,000 new car trips a day on 29 just from that one new neighborhood?
Correct. 30,000 vehicle trips per day is what that development is expected to add. So, and that brings us to the point of, you know, thinking about, well, what is the nature of the traffic on 29? The transportation studies say that only 12% of the traffic on 29 is really trying to get around Charlottesville. So most of the traffic, 88%, is local. Local people making local
trips.
Just
people going up and down Target, Walmart.
You got it.
The mall, yeah.
So part of the recipe in this Places 29 plan, which is getting some discussion now in the business community, because a lot of people compare it to the Western Bypass proposal. So do you build a bypass for $200, $300 million?
For just 12% of the traffic.
For that percent of the traffic, but also on a path that now people, you know, obviously know is coming in south of Hollymead Town Center, of North Point, of Forest Lakes.
Coming in below...
below a lot
where
of the development
the
in Albemarle.
Yeah.
So even if you don't like that route, the question still remains, well, would a bigger route for the bypass be better? Of course, then it'd be more expensive.
Yeah.
But people compare the Places 29 proposal, which is grade separation, making interchanges at six different intersections along 29 to speed the flow of traffic. And what that would do is allow people to, you know, like an interchange on the 250 bypass at Park Street, that sort of tight interchange is
yeah.
what they have in mind at some of these locations. Others have a more circuitous exit and entrance strategy,
yeah.
and that's what concerns some of the business leaders. They're afraid people won't be able to easily get to their stores. Other experts,
a very valid concern if you own a business on that road.
Other experts have come to town and said, listen, If you build the right kind of street network that is efficient and have the right signage, people can find your stores and you will be more successful.
It'll actually be
right
better
kind
for
of
your business.
Infill
yeah.
development.
Yeah.
That said, some businesses will have to relocate at some of those interchanges. The one that was in the news recently was the Rio interchange as opposed to the hydraulic interchange. So those two intersections on 29.
Those are two where we probably need them the most.
And the Metropolitan Planning Organization, which is the body that tries to think long-term about where to spend federal dollars and state dollars on these projects, they have elevated in priority the Rio interchange over hydraulic.
Ooh.
And so that was the news last week. That story is on our website right now as well. And
so if there was to be...
if there was money...
to build these overpasses, which Barack Obama's economic stimulus package may give us some, then that would be the first one if as a community we decided that we wanted overpasses instead of a bypass. Is it an either-or kind of thing? Is it like you need a bypass or you need these interchanges?
What VDOT would say is that you need grade separation. You need these interchanges, but you need that parallel network of roads as well. So you need Berkmar Drive extended all the way up to Hollymead Town Center.
Yeah.
You need Hillsdale Drive extended south to Hydraulic. And if you have Hillsdale on one side, you've Berkmar on the other, that allows a more robust network of roads.
And so you could move between the stores north-south without getting on 29.
That's right.
Much easier. Yeah.
So that's what when VDOT looks at Albemarle County and thinks about Places 29 and the growth of this corridor, what they want is to improve that main street, but also support it with parallel road networks. Another thing that is on our news center, VDOT is going to start requiring more road connectivity like this. And by that, I mean they're not going to accept new developments into the secondary street network. So if you're planning to build a subdivision and you hand them a plan, you hand your local government a plan that shows all these cul-de-sacs and dead ends, VDOT is going to say end of state maintenance at the entrance to that subdivision.
Really?
So for the first time, they have now unanimously, the Commonwealth Transportation Board just recently adopted this new strategy. And again, Albemarle County was forward thinking in its neighborhood model and insisting on connectivity, which is very controversial in this community.
Yeah, because some people like to live in cul-de-sacs.
And they don't want to be connected to something when they didn't think they were going to be.
Yeah.
and so this is going to be an interesting issue to watch. Again, Albemarle County has been out in the forefront at making that part of their policies, but now VDOT is weighing in and saying, listen, we've got limited funds. We're only going to accept the roads that make sense. The smart streets will add to the system and we'll support. The other ones, we're going to say, you're on your own if you want to build it like that.
There you go. You can read the full story online at SevilleTomorrow.org. Next week, Brian will bring us the top growth and development stories of 2008. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Coy.
Happy New Year to you. Y'all have a great Happy New Year, a safe Happy New Year. I will talk to you in 2009.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.